Andy Holdings Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined as ever by Andy Holding to look ahead to the best of Sunday's action. We're going to look at the card in Navan, as well as two feature races over in Limerick. Not a great deal between the two cards, to be honest, today. But we're going to take a look at Navan, where I believe the jackpot has rolled over from Cheltenham and Utoxeter yesterday. Over £1 million up for grabs at Navan, so certainly may be worth a second glance. Good morning, Mr. Holding. How are you?
I'm very well, yes. Back end of a tiring week, emotionally draining week. We're still in one piece. And it's adds a bit of a spice today, doesn't it? The fact that there's a big jackpot in the offing and likely to be bolstered as well with lots of people, a lot of the big hitters are having a good go at it.
Yeah, definitely. How was Cheltenham for you, Andy, both on a betting note and, of course, a personal note? You ran Ruther Glen in the Triumph Hurdle, and he acquitted himself admirably, didn't he? Just couldn't quite go the pace, maybe, of the protagonist, but certainly ran with credit.
He did, yeah. I think that's a fair summary, really, to be honest. I've broke the race down and done the sectionals, and I don't think it was a vintage Triumph Hurdle, if I'm being perfectly honest, and the County Hurdle, and even the David Nichols, the Martin Pike race was quicker on the numbers, so I don't think we're dealing with very top-class form. I think our lad's probably a genuine Grade 2 / Grade 3 horse. He's run up to his mark around about 135. I thought, he ran admirably. Don't forget that was only his fourth race in his life in that company, over hurdles. And, from going to winning at Musselburgh to taking on Grade 1 company at the Cheltenham Festival when it's a big occasion, and obviously he was on his toes a little beforehand, I thought he'd come out of that that race hopefully will make a man of him as well. We've got several plans in the pipeline. We'll probably skip Aintree. We don't feel as though the track will suit him, being even sharper, of course, than Cheltenham. Punchestown would be a little bit of a pipe dream at this stage because, you'd suggest that if he's not a Grade 1 horse, then why should he beat the others that defeated him at Cheltenham? Maybe a race at Fairy House as a Grade 3 there over the Easter period. That might be more in his capabilities. But, yeah, look, he's done more than what we thought at the start of the season, so we're just really proud of him.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any chance he'd go back on the flat?
There is every chance, yeah. I don't think that's dead in the water either. I mean, he's only rated, mid-70s on the flat. We only got put up a pound the other day for winning on the all-weather at Kempton. And, there's lots of good prizes for him over 2 miles. We're eyeing up this as Irish. Mm. At Newmarket towards the back end of the season, after perhaps he has a long break, because he has been on the go all winter, and maybe one more run under his belt and then rough him off for the season and bring him back fresh for next year. But yeah, perhaps something in the autumn. He stays really well, doesn't he? He's game and he tries hard, and for low weight in the Cesaro, which could be quite dangerous,
and couldn't be with a better trainer for a dual purpose career, really, could he?
Well, Countrywide Flame had a tilt at it, didn't he? And he came very close. I think he finished second or third, and after winning the Triumph. So, they're two similar type of horses, aren't they, really? It could be just perfect for him, that race. But that's a long way off, and let's get the next hurdle race under our belt. We're desperate to pick up a better black type with him, and hopefully that race in Fairy House will give us a good opportunity with lots of the big boys going to Aintree and then going on to Punchestown. It might be a fairly weak affair like it was last year. I think one fine day won it and there was only four runners.
Yeah, okay. Right then, well, more importantly, we'll move on to Navan. Yes. We are going to kick off with the 225, a maiden hurdle over 2 miles. Maybe not the strongest race that we'll look at today, but perhaps a couple of nice types in here. At the time of recording, we've got McNicholson at the head of affairs. Has looked a little bit frustrating. Barry Geraghty on board today. Would you be with this one, or are you going to look for a little bit of value?
Well, he's certainly got some decent form on his dance card, hasn't he, this horse? He's been a bit unlucky, really, to be perfectly honest. I'm not actually convinced that really bad ground has been suiting him either through the middle of winter. You know, he's by definite article, and he just seems to sort of like struggle to get home on testing conditions. I mean, the form as it stands at Thurles is not a particularly strong race, as it so happens, got well beaten a handicap last weekend. Synchronicity was a fairly exposed horse, the horse that beat him the time before. You'd have to argue that, you know, that run behind Lieutenant Colonel is probably one of his better runs. I think it's more the fact that, you know, his trainer's now in good form. I think that's the thing we ought to concentrate on. He was running in the period of time when Jessica Harrington couldn't have a winner, and now things are looking much more rosy in the garden now for that particular hand, of course, having the win of the champion hurdle. So, yeah, all things look set fair for a big run for McNicholson. The danger, or the dangers, look to be Drunken Council and Cracking Chap, of course, these two opposed early on in the season when they ran here over this course and distance as well behind, of course, Vator. Both horses had absolutely no chance of beating the Supreme Novices Hurdle winner. But, you know, you look at that form, they didn't get beat too far. And I actually put up Cracking Chap next time out when he went to Punchestown. And he raced in what has turned out to be quite a good maiden hurdle, won by Drum Neo. Two horses out of that race, the second and third, Blow the Doors Off and Bonzo Bing, have both won since. So that's probably, for me, the pick of the form. And, you know, we're getting a good price about Cracking Chap. He's 6-1. He did travel well in that race until when he made a bad mistake at the second last. And then again, another mistake at the final flight put the final nail in his coffin. But like I say, he went really well through the race. He's going back to Navan now on slightly drier ground than he encountered at Punchestown. Don't forget he was only good to yielding when he ran behind Vator early on in the season. So I think he's a really good each-way bet here, Cracking Chap. And I suggest that's the way we go in the first race.
OK, then, Cracking Chap in the opener. That's the 225. Next up is the 255, where it is a handicap hurdle. 2 miles the trip. And JP McManus has a pretty strong hand here. Stockton's Wing, Drumley and... Oh dear, I've started this, Andy, and I've just realised it's an Irish name. How are we going to go with number 8 here?
Tubbanageisha.
No, I'm glad you're here. Anyway, JP McManus, reasonably strong hand, but again, this looks a pretty open race.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Quite a few of these are coming off the back of long layoffs at the aforementioned Tubbanageisha. He hasn't run since 28th of October, and I think Stockton's Wing's actually a non-runner, so... We suggest that you know, Tubbanageisha might need the run. And Sir Ector as well is another interesting runner. I mean, there's no denying he's very well handicapped here, potentially off a mark of 115. He's a 104-rated performer on the flat. And of course, the last time we saw him, he won the Irish November handicap at Leopardstown, beating none other than Quick Jack, who still remains one of the best handicapped horses over hurdles in Ireland. It's just what he can do, really, at a different venue than what he's used to. His best two tracks are Down Royal and Leopardstown, two venues where he's really shone in the past, and he hasn't run since November. So I'm not really sure what to make of him, Sir Ector. Yes, he can win, but will he do under such circumstances as today? With that in mind, I'd probably stick with the tried and trusted formula of going with a course and distance winner in the shape of Drum Lee, who in the first time, Hood, finally got off the mark at the ninth time of asking here last time out when he made virtue all the running, or certainly took it up from a long way out. And to be fair, he never really looked in any danger of getting beaten. He's standing very powerfully up the hill. And prior to that, he's run a consistent series of races here at this track. The run behind Dane King reads really well on the figures. And two other runs as well when he's both been placed. Don't forget, he was fourth to Moyle Park in his debut over hurdles here back early in the season. So he's finished first, second, third and fourth in all four visits here at the County Kildare venue. So that's, I think, one of the reasons why I want to get with him rather than take a punt on Sir Ector. Of course, hasn't run for quite a while.
OK, then. Next up is the 330, a maiden hurdle, 2.5 miles the trip for this one. And we've got a short price favourite here in Le Vent d'Anton, smart performer in bumpers. and yet to get the win under the belt over hurdles, but this looks as good an opportunity as any for him, doesn't it?
It does, really. Yeah, this would be, you know, an open-looking goal here for Levant Danton. Of course, useful horse when he was in the bumper sphere. Of course, seventh in the champion bumper last year. No surprise to see him sent off then. Therefore, short price favourite on his opening debut when he ran quite well, without probably living up to the expectations that the market suggested. Again, he was odds on his last start when he got beat by the four-year-old CB, who unfortunately failed to make the gig in the Fred Winter. I was waiting for that horse to run there, but he missed it by quite a way. The speed figure of that race at Nace was really good, though, and I think he was up against a couple of four-year-olds who were potentially very smart. So if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, then perhaps he's one for you. He's just not the kind of horse I want to be backing at 8-15, as he's got beaten on his last two starts. And given the shape of the race, I'd sooner go something each way here, as is my want. And I'd go with Painted Lady here from, of course, the informed stable of Jessica Harrington. Had plenty of chances this mare, but I think she's been cutting her teeth in some good races. We get a chance to look at the form of that run at Punchestown when she was fourth in last time out behind Drumnee. Of course, we get Cracking Chap lining up in the first race an hour and 5 minutes earlier. So if that horse runs well, as anticipated, then that should boost her the chances here of Painted Lady. She kept on really well for pressure that day against horses like Blow the Doors Off and Bonzo Bing, who subsequently gone on to win. But she had chased down Desi Hughes back before dawn in a decent maiden hurdle at Leopardstown. So she's been in quite deep water here, Painted Lady, and this one's less choppy, as it were. And at 6-1, it's hard to see her not running her race and not finishing the frame at the very least. So despite the long Vondantam claims, I'm going to go with Painted Lady each way.
OK, Painted Lady the pick there in the 3:30. Next up is the 4 o'clock, a novice hurdle over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. Cracking little race this, Andy. You could give a chance to pretty much every horse in the field. Some really informed types, some nice prospects. Which one are you going to be on here?
I'm going to be against the favourite here and with two. I'm not quite sure why Festive Felon is so short in the betting here. I do like the horse, Festive Felon. I think he'll win a decent pot sooner rather than later. But the one thing that he hasn't really proved yet is that he stays this trip. We do know that he likes the track because he won here in December, beating, of course, Don Polly. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why he is favourite, because Don Polly won the Martin Pipe at the Cheltenham Festival. But his next two starts, he's tried 2 mile 6, and he's tried 3 miles at Punchestown, of course, in the per temps qualifier. And on both occasions, he didn't get home. So a stiff 2 mile 7 here might just stretch him. And that's one of the reasons why I think he's not great value at 5-2. Whereas I do think Thunder and Roses, who was ahead of him that day on the 2nd of February when Jetson won the qualifier, I think he's probably the most likely of the pair to get the trip. I think Desi Hughes' 6 yards are out now at Stayer. And as Jetson ran well in the per temps final, I think the form's fairly believable. There's also another nice horse in this race called Noble Endeavour. He's one I suggest the podcasters have a few quid on as well, because he comes from the same sort of family that Marla Beach did. And I think he's got many traits that Stable Companion Marla Beach has. Of course, Marla Beach missed the World Hurdle due to the ground drying out, and I think we'll see him later in the season when the ground softens up. And this horse certainly handles heavy ground like his stable mate does. And he stayed on really strongly last time out at Winter Punchestown when he was a short price and well-fancied 6-4 favourite, getting the better of subsequent winner to Bob. And I think the further he goes, the better he's going to be. There's been good money for him this morning. So that a lot of punters are thinking like the way I do, that this horse is going to get the trip better than most here. So the two against the field, Thunder and Roses, and the well-backed Noble Endeavour.
OK, two against the field there in the 4 o'clock. Next up is the 4:35, a Grade C Novice Handicap Chase Final. 3 miles, the trip for the feature contest on the Navan card. Another really, really good race. Another one where you can give chances to many, pretty open. At the time of recording, we are 6-1 the field. My Murphy heads affairs at the time of recording. What do you make of his chances, Andy? And where do you think this one will go?
Well, this one could be the proverbial jackpot busting race, couldn't it, this? You know, you could get a 16-20-1 chance at winning this race and therefore throwing many punters off the scent of the big pot. I do like my Murphy here for more than one or two reasons. First of all, I think Connections have clearly had this race on their mind ever since this horse was since he tipped up in this race last year. Of course, this race last year went the direction of Panther Claw, who beat a well-contested field. And in that field was My Murphy, who was going really well at the time down the back straight when he made a bad mistake and, of course, fell. He was sent off 8-1 on that occasion. And since then, he's run three very, very good races this season. Of course, winner at Fairy House, thus breaking his duck over the larger obstacles when he beat Following Up to Carlo. He was then thrown in the deep end in a Grade 1 race at Leopardstown, the Topaz and Novices Chase, which contained horses like Morning Assembly, Carlingford Lock and Fox Rock, are all ran with great distinction at the Cheltenham Festival. And then he bumped into Ted Walsh's Charge again next time out, most notably over this course of distance in the 10-up Novices Chase. Unfortunately, he just came out second best on that occasion, but Fox Rock is a real good stayer, as we know. And he stayed on very strongly on the running. He's up against Clay and Amoyne again, who travelled like the best horse of the two in that race before not quite getting home up the hill. So what I'd suggest here is that we follow both of those two horses out of that Grade 2 race. They're now in handicap company. So if we back My Murphy, what, at 6-1 and Clay and Amoyne at 10-1, I think we're going to be there or thereabouts. They've got course and distance form. They both travel well. They both stay well. And although it's a wide open handicap and there are others with chances, I'd rather nail my colours to the mast with those two.
OK, then, the penultimate race on the Navan card comes up at 5.05, a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Another open race here, Easy Vic is likely to be at the head of affairs, a horse that I actually napped a fortnight ago, Andy. That was to, I believe that was to break his maiden. If it wasn't, he certainly doesn't win very often. Only just got home that day, and personally, I think he's worth taking on here. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he could well be vulnerable on this occasion. It was a brilliant ride by Carberry that got him home that day when he beat Forever Gold. And, yeah, there's always a kind of like element of the fact that he managed to get his head in front afterwards. Will he do it again? Yeah, he's definitely a player. There's no denying that. He's got the ability. It's just whether he's got the inclination sometimes to go through with it, with that just one win under 31, it's not very tempting credentials to take sort of 3-1 about him. I'm also quite mindful of the fact that Not Beauty here, albeit has got some really eye-catching credentials, that she probably might just save her best form for maybe the smaller venues. Looking at that run last time at third, it wasn't a particularly great race, and I think she won in the period where Robert Tyner's horses are absolutely on fire. Now, I'm not suggesting they've gone backwards since. He still remains in good form, but he did have two winners on that card that day at Thurles, and he had three winners, I think, the week after at Clonmel. He's just one of those streak trainers, Robert Tyner, that does manage to produce horses to win on any given day like that. So I think the front two in the market are both vulnerable here. Particularly going around a stiffer track, going the other way around. And I like the form of Refuse to Name and Papa Flora here. That was on the 1st of March, where Refuse to Name got the better of Papa Flora in a bit of a wild finish. It was the race where they had to bypass the last, and there was a long run from two out to the line, and it suited Joseph Hanlon, the 7-year-old, because he does stay really well. He does get 2.5 miles, so his stamina very much came into his own. Whether he can hold the form down now going up to 2.5 miles is open to question, because also Papa Flora's got some good form over 2.5 miles. But either way, at the price is 15-2 Refuse to Name and 9-1, 10-1 for Papa Flora. I think we're getting reasonable value about these two horses who've got course and distance form in the bag. And that's pretty much the theme of the day for me. I'm sticking with horses who've got course form at Navan. So I'll go with those two against the field.
OK, final race on the Navan card is the Bumper, 5.35, 2 miles the trip. We've got Virtuoso Rouge in at the head of affairs at the time of recording for Noel Mead and Nina Carberry. That one has come from the pointing ranks. There isn't a massive amount of form to go on here, but I imagine, Andy, knowing you as well as I do, that you'll be looking for a bit of a maggoty each way bet here, am I right?
Not quite. I mean, the horse I fancy is a 3-1 chance, so I won't put it beyond me to back a 3-1 shot each way, and many out there will be groaning with the very prospect of me doing that. But I do quite like Brodner Heeren here, the Desi Hughes-trained horse, who was second to Drumley here in a maiden hurdle last time. Of course, Drumley is one of my fancies early on in the card in the second race, so we get a chance to look how good that form is. But either way, I thought Brodner Heeren ran a nice eye-catching race that day. I like the way he went through that race, despite his odds suggesting that he wouldn't. Don't forget, he was a 66-1 poke in that particular contest off the back of a modest enough run first time out. I like the fact that he's run here twice at the track. I know this has been very much like a broken record with me here today, but I do like horses that run well at Navan, stiff track, horses that have acclimatised well to this nature of this venue. That's only got to stand them in good stead. And I like the way he kept on as well on the run. He went all the way to the line behind a horse who got plenty of experience around the track. I know he's dropping back to a bumper, but he looks as though he certainly is not short of boot. And at 3-1, with those two runs under his belt here at the track, I think that's probably the safest way of going here and back in Brodner here and each way, of course, if you wanted to.
Yeah. OK, then. That's the Navan card done and dusted. We'll hop over to Limerick briefly. We're going to look at the two graded races on their card. And the first that we'll look at comes up at 2:40. It is a Mare's Novices Hurdle, a Grade 3 event over 2 miles, where we might have a smart one at the head of affairs here, Andy, in the shape of Willie Mullins' Urticare. But again, this won't be easy, and there's a lot of informed mares arriving here to take her on.
Yeah, she's just one of those ones that the price I'll let her win. I'm fully expecting her to be a very warm order. I'm not sure who's going to ride. Of course, we've got Ruby Walsh now on the sidelines, and indeed Brian Cooper, of course, who rather unluckily had a horrific-looking fall on Clarecam the other day at the festival. So I'm not sure who's going to get the ride, but whoever does has obviously got a fantastic opportunity with this mare. She's shown a good level of form in graded races so far this season. She won at Navan in a pretty convincing fashion on a seasonal stroke hurdling debut, and that run behind Upsy probably represents the best form. She's certainly very well in with the conditions of this race as well. That's another thing to point out. A lot of these have got to give her weight, who are more lowly rated than what she is. So it's for hers to lose, to be perfectly honest. But at the prices, I quite like a bit of devilment and each-way thievery here in a race where we've got the dead eight runners. So that sets it up quite nicely for me here to go with Emily Gray, who's a 12-1 chance on the morning line. I do like the fact that this horse has won here twice at the track. Now, Limerick is very much a track with a law into itself. It does get very, very testing here. I mean, considering the conditions we've had up and down the length and breadth of the UK and Ireland, look at the ground, still soft, heavy in places. As if they've got their own little private little world here where the rain clouds only seem to lurk above this track. Her best two runs have been here at this venue. She's standing very powerfully to beat a good handicap fill here 2 starts ago. That was over the Christmas period. She was then strongly fancied to repeat the dose at Leopardstown, but she got outpaced on that occasion. And she is a horse that wants a real thorough test of stamina in bad ground. So the fact she's coming back here at the scene of her best victories with a bit of cut in the ground, or plenty of cut in the ground, suggests she's going to run another huge race. I'd certainly give Sunday Serenade a look as well at a price. She was in the Wicklow Brave race at Punchestown. And I think for large majorities of the Supreme Novices Hurdle, Wicklow Brave travel like the best horse. She just didn't get home up the hill plain and simple. So I think that form's okay as well. And there's been a bit of money for Peter Farhey's 6-year-old mare as well in the morning prices. So there is a little bit of a chance here that we might get an upset. I'm hoping it'll be Emily Gray, but if it isn't, it might well be Sunday Serenade.
OK, then. The final race that we'll look at today is the 3:40 from Limerick. A Mare's Novices Chase this time. A Grade 2 contest over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. There's three that the market are focusing on here. Bailey Babe, who has to carry a penalty. Baby Shine and Keem's Delight. Three horses that I'd say it's pretty hard not to like. They're all pretty consistent, and they all tend to run up to their mark each and every time, very consistent. But which one are you going to come down on the side of here, Andy?
Yeah, I'm struggling for a nap today because I fancy quite a few big prices, but I do like Briley Babe, so I'm going to nap her. I do think she's got every credential going here to take this prize. I wouldn't be absolutely mad keen on Baby Shine here. I've seen that Lucy Wadden makes a rare raid over in Ireland, and I don't think she's ever had a run at Limerick. I'm not sure whether that trip is going to pay off either. I thought she got easily brushed aside by She Ranks Me, who, to be fair, never went a yard in that race at Plumpton, yet Baby Shine still managed to lose. I think most people are looking at that form at Ascot and saying, oh, you know, the O'Fanlin's boy form line, but, you know, she did get beat a field and a dyke that day, so I think she's worth taking on, Baby Shine. Whereas Briley Babe, as I said on many occasions, has got the all-important Limerick form stats in the book, 2 for 2 here at this venue. Like I say, it's a very unique course, this, a real demanding course, and it suits this horse who loves heavy ground. Amazingly, she got beat last time out by Avondhu Lady, who fluffed her lines in a handicap chase next time out. But the time of the race was really good, and I think it was the fact that she dropped back down to 2 miles that just caught her out. She's now back up in trip, and that extra yardage helped her out last time out, the time before when she beat Un Artiste and came in his delight in a Grade 2 race at Thurles. She travelled really well in that race. She jumped really well. And more importantly, she'd won quite convincingly the time before as well here at this track. I think the step up in trip will play into her strengths more than most. We know she handles a venue. She's got a touch of class, a turn of foot. And more importantly, she comes from a yard in fantastic form, Robert Tyner. So Briley Bay really does tick every single box available in that Grade 2 mares race.
Okay. Lovely stuff, Andy. Thank you very much for your time, as ever. Best of luck with the selections at Navan and at Limerick. If you win the jackpot, then give me a fiver, please. And we'll catch up with you later on in the week.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I'm going to have a go at it. But you know what it's like with these jackpots. There's always one horse somewhere lurking at a big price that you haven't thought about. And that's it. I've never got a jackpot up in my life. Hopefully it might change today, though.
Fingers crossed, Andy. Thank you.
Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.